Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 88 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm your host, Neil Tyra. And today my guest is Michael Mogul, the CEO of Crisp Video Group, a video marketing and development company that specializes specifically in creating videos for law firms and attorneys. Several of Michael's clients have already been guests of ours on The Law Entrepreneur, and they include people like Keith Magnus on episode 82, Ben Glass a couple of weeks ago on episode 86, and last week's guest, Damian Turco, on episode 87. So all of them are Crisp Video clients. So if after those episodes you went and visited any of their websites, you saw the videos that Michael and his company produces for attorneys like them. And I love their product. I really do. Now, full disclosure, I am not a client. I may someday be. I could do worse, believe you me. I just really like the work that they do. And I think if you take the opportunity to visit their website and look at some of the examples of the work they've done for their clients, you'll agree with me that they produce some superb video content on behalf of their clients. And on this episode, you're going to hear how this all came to be, how Michael started the company, how they've grown, how they focus on telling the stories of lawyers like you and me, and the results of using their videos on your website and in your marketing. So let's not waste any more time. Let's hear the good stuff from Michael Mogul. Michael Mogul, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time to be with us today, Michael. Michael is with the Crisp Video Group. With it is a misnomer. He leads the Crisp Video Group. And Michael, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today with Crisp Video.
Oh, wow. Okay. So in terms of the time that we have today for that story, I guess I can give you the 3 to 4 minute story of that. There's probably a several hour one, but...
Well, that's the one we'll do over drinks, okay?
There you go. Right. Essentially, the way that it came to be, I was a biology major in college, took the MCAT, got into med school, and ultimately decided that that was not the direction that I wanted to go, which was much to the chagrin of my Russian immigrant Jewish parents, who had invested a lot of energy in getting our family here. It was my brother and I. So the common immigrant story of us coming here, it was... two kids and two grandparents and my parents, and they'd basically left their life in Russia to bring us here, just essentially escaping religious persecution over there. And when they came here, so my dad was an engineer, my mom was a nurse, but when they got to the States, they had to essentially start over. So my dad was a mechanic and my mom was a hairdresser, but they'd really invested in creating a lot of opportunity for my brother and I. So I was going down the medicine route because you've got, it's interesting in terms of like career paths for immigrant parents, for their children, essentially it's either doctor or lawyer. And then anything else outside of that is pretty much a failure, I would say, or in my case, I mean, we say entrepreneur basically sound like we don't really understand what he does, or it's probably maybe one step up from unemployed. So essentially I had spent a lot of time, I got into two med schools, but I'd spent a lot of time shadowing doctors and physicians, and I think it was hundreds of hours. And ultimately, I just didn't like what I was seeing in the profession. The hours weren't a problem, but I felt that, and I could tell that they were very much not in control of a lot of the things that were happening around them. So, you know, they spent more time, I think, dealing with just insurance claims, and they were dealing with patients. And then also any kind of changes in healthcare, any of those mandates could dramatically impact their day-to-day lives. So being entrepreneurial, I just thought that there wasn't much control there. So ultimately, did not have a plan. And this is right as the stock market collapsed. So here I was, graduated with honors, got into med school, and I'm applying for jobs, and I got one washing dishes at this restaurant.
It must have made your parents so proud at that point.
Oh, they thought that they had just failed, right? I mean, at this point, they were saying, like, okay, like, where did we go wrong with this one? Because my brother, who was the younger brother, so 3 years younger, pride of the family, right? He was going on to get his doctorate in physical therapy, become a physical therapist, and here I was essentially washing dishes at this restaurant. So you could see that the juxtaposition of the two probably wasn't ideal for them. But ultimately, got a job at the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and there I was scanning documents. I was OCRing these documents, but I did it well. And then that led to me being promoted to actually working on CDC.gov and that website. And while I was there, I figured, you know what? It'd be a great lifetime hobby to buy a camera and just learn how to take photos.
Still photos?
Still photos. I mean, just going out and just taking photos, trying to learn. I knew nothing about photography or even videography at that point. But basically, I felt, you know, this is a great thing to learn. And while I was also at the CDC, I mean, I would always get there several hours earlier than everyone got there because I didn't want to sit in traffic. And then I'd stay a few hours later because I didn't want to sit in traffic on the way home. So every day I made a kind of a commitment that I would sit there and just learn things. I didn't know which career path I'd go down, but I was able to get through at least one book a week. So whether it was some sort of programming language or learning Photoshop or InDesign or Premiere or anything like that. I mean, fortunately, like during my time there, I was able to really learn a lot of skills basically during the times where the workday hadn't started and long past once the workday ended. And when I bought this camera, I figured this would just be a great hobby to learn, but my hobbies can't really stay hobbies. So clearly it became more, and one thing led to the next, and it turned into one business, which grew into the second, which ultimately grew into Crisp. But the biggest thing I think that we did different at the time, this is a little over 5 years ago, there were a lot of video companies at the time, and everyone told me not to do it, that we could not compete with the agencies or would not be able to, and that also nobody was interested in online video. It was only TV commercials, right? TV and movies, that there was no future in online video, right? That was an interesting thing to hear now, right?
Yeah.
And then at the same time, traditionally, the video production process, you really had three options. Either you could hire a kind of a local freelancer, which was a roll of the dice. You could hire an agency, which would work with like huge, like national global brands, would be very, very expensive.
Which was a roll of the wallet.
Exactly. Right. And then they never really specialized in video either. They just, you know, it happened to be one of the things that they did. Or you could hire a, at the time, videography company, which was generally a couple creatives, two guys with cameras that got together and said, we're starting a business. And then the challenge there was that they were limited in terms of their capacity, in terms of their scalability. There weren't any processes generally or any kind of really operations to be able to do so with consistency. But most importantly, they were just shooting good looking videos. And I looked at this and I said, well, I don't know that anyone's really interested in just purely, you know, investing in just a good looking video. They're interested in solving a business challenge or a marketing challenge. You know, the video just may happen to be the medium for that. But if, you know, the video company's talking about here are the cameras that we use and the lenses that we use, instead of talking about what are your goals and what type of content do we produce and how is that going to be implemented, I just felt there was that disconnect. So that's why Crisp, you know, was created essentially.
Well, and it was it's quite a journey. I want to talk about the technical underpinnings to that transition in a moment, but it sounds as if you had that entrepreneurial spirit within you right from the very beginning. Has that served you, I mean, with your book a week and learning during your downtime and that kind of thing? Sounds like that's been really the motivation behind you creating this wonderful company that you have.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree. I mean, if you even look back to my childhood, I remember like one of my first entrepreneurial experiences, I guess my first business technically. I was 13 years old and I had a web design company. And I remember this is, it seems so ridiculous now kind of looking back, but my mom would literally let like my clients in the front door of our house, and then I'd sit with them and I'd help them create, you know, create their websites. Like I did one for like a tutoring company and so on. And you think like, what were 13-year-old kids doing at that time? But I knew HTML and I learned it then. And this was during like basically the infancy of a lot of website designs. So this is when, you know, GeoCities and Frontpage and that world, but people didn't really like, even then didn't really understand the technical aspects of it. So I was able to help.
You're getting your 10,000 hours in at that point.
Yeah. You got to start somewhere, right?
Exactly. So let's talk then about what Crisp Video offers and how you've niched it down to serve a particular clientele.
Yes. So we now, I mean, it's exclusively working with law firms and have been for the last several years all across the country. What we do is a little bit different. It's interesting because in a podcast, it's difficult to really show it because you have to really watch a video to know how it's different, because whatever anyone has in their mind about, you know, the last video they saw or the last legal video they saw, this may be completely different. So I would encourage anyone to at least check that out to gain a frame of reference for what we're talking about.
Yeah, it's really difficult to talk about a visual medium in an audio world, but we're gonna provide some examples to direct people to help clarify that. But go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, I would relate the most to, and the videos very much focus on storytelling, and what we do is, you know, everything essentially from the strategy of, you know, what's the goal. So when a firm comes to us, and let's say they want to focus on improving conversions, or they want to attract more discerning clients, or particular types of cases, you know, there's different types of content to produce there, and there's also different audiences to consider. So that's something that we map out, and we really help firms articulate what sets them apart, why someone should hire them as opposed to another law firm, because, you know, as I'm sure you're familiar, I mean, there's no shortage of attorneys, right? There's no shortage of legal options. And that was something that became apparent to me very quickly, where, you know, when I was going through that same decision-making process, I'd realized that it was very difficult for me to discern between, you know, who is a good attorney and who is a bad attorney. And if you were relying solely upon who was just advertising to you on TV and billboards and so on, then it seemed to me like you were missing out on probably the best attorneys, not to mention they, even in their advertising, just hire me now, that wasn't a great enough, you know, reason to hire them. So that we take a very much a storytelling approach. We help firms not only just discover, but also articulate their value proposition. We produce all this content. We even implement and market the content too.
You know, I think one of the reasons that you're so successful, and I can now spot a Crisp Video a mile away, because it has these really strong qualities that identify it as a product of your work. I think one of the things that makes it so is that you have combined just those kinds of concepts together. The value of storytelling can't be underplayed, because without a compelling story, it's just a video advertisement. And I want to draw our audience attention to one of your clients who was a guest of ours on episode 82. That's Keith Magnus. And Keith is a personal injury attorney from New Orleans. And I met Keith at a conference that Ernie Svensson put on, and ultimately went to his video or to his website and watched the video that you all put together for him. And I was, and continue to be, absolutely blown away. Now, I've seen a lot of your videos, but I really think the one that you did for Keith is your Oscar award winning video. I don't need to praise you. You guys are doing fine without me. That video is so compelling that if you're a client, a potential client looking for a personal injury attorney, I defy you to watch that video and then go somewhere else, because it is such a compelling story. And it's how you have captured that story in the video. And I'm talking about the sound quality, the editing, the visual effects, the whole storyboard. I mean, it's a tremendous product, and I can't think of a better testimony to the work that you do than the video that you did for Keith.
Thank you. I mean, I really appreciate that. And I will say, I mean, it, you know, we're very, very grateful to Keith and that he was willing to be so open in terms of like his background and his story. One of the things that's I think may surprise people is that we're never writing like a script per se. Like we'll put together a storyboard and we know going in, here's the story we're going to tell, but we're never like essentially creating a story that's not already there. So we're with all of our attorneys all across the country, we're simply just highlighting and bringing to light like what is already there and what already exists and what, you know, sets this attorney and this firm apart. But we're never fabricating a story. We're never kind of, you know, we may make it much more emotionally compelling with really engaging music and, you know, making sure that it really has a good flow to get somebody. I mean, we always think, what is a desired action that we want someone to take when they're done watching this video? And I think it's exactly as you pointed out. I mean, we've even said in some of our marketing that we help our attorneys become the obvious choice in their market, and that, hey, if you see this thing, you're done. Like you're not vetting anybody else. You're moving forward with this guy.
I'm not going to go look at another website. I'm not going to call anybody else. I see that video. I know that Keith is the attorney for my case.
Yeah, I mean if that's the reaction that you're having, it's mission accomplished. And Keith actually had an experience like this with a client.
Yeah, I remember him telling that story. He told it on our podcast. You know, I think if somebody goes there, they're going to say, well, okay, it's Keith's story that is selling the video, not the video telling Keith's story. But I disagree with that, because if you look through some other examples of videos that you have done, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said we take, you know, the information from the attorney and we make an authentic video about them. So you can take a video like the one that I just interviewed Damian Turco, an attorney out of the Boston area. He was on the show last week, and that video that you guys did of him, different kind of story, different kind of feel from the one that you did for Keith Magnus, but a very, very authentic story about his practice and what it does. You look at it, you immediately afterwards say, well, that's a team that I think I know a little bit now. I can trust, I like them and I can trust them. And isn't that what we all want our potential clients to come away with?
Absolutely. And one thing that we always like mention to our clients, especially going in, because sometimes someone will see a video on our website and say, you know what, I want a video just like Keith, for example, or just like Damien's, whatever that might be. But we always say, like, you know, what you want to avoid is, at the end of the day, you really want to be authentic and you want to avoid just modeling somebody else's video because, you know, you see, oh, wow, they're aggressive and hard charging. I want my video to come off that way, and I want doves flying, and I want, you know, explosions going off. But typically we find that the best videos are the ones that are the most authentic and in line, and you can't really you can't really fake it. Not to mention, it's important to realize why clients hire you. I mean, some clients may hire an attorney because he's aggressive and hard charging, but others may hire an attorney. And when you actually ask the clients, that's where you'll really get that insight. And that's what helps us articulate that value proposition for a firm. But the clients may say, hey, you know, it was because it was so responsive and attentive to my needs, and I didn't want to hire a bigger firm because I didn't feel that I would get the same attention that I do with this firm. And those types of things, that's what really comes out through the video. So it's less about whether it's something that's super aggressive or, you know, something that has a lot of empathy or so on. But it's just, the most important thing is just to be authentic to yourself, because people are hiring the individual or the firm, but not the lawyer, if you will. And if they view it purely as an attorney or just a law firm, then it just becomes commoditized.
And we see plenty of examples on TV and in other forms of the opposite of that, where people make an inauthentic presentation of themselves or a caricature of their business, and it comes through as just that. These videos, again, you don't need me to tell everybody, but I will. These videos stand on their own two feet as really being authentic presentations of the clients that you serve, and I think that's why you're so successful. This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? You feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. Spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. So tell us a little bit about the process. What does one go through to create such an outstanding product?
Yeah, absolutely. So the process, and this is one of the things that, you know, people talk about, you know, the sexy aspects of a business in terms of like, wow, you know, the videos are amazing. But if there's something that I'm most proud of, and I say this as a business owner, it is the process. And it is amazing when you think about it, because we're doing anywhere from, let's say, 40 to 50 shoots a month all across the country. And it's always our team, right? So we don't outsource any of this stuff. We're not hiring guys off Craigslist. So we do that to ensure that there's a consistency and not just the client experience, but also quality control and so on. But to be able to do that all across the United States, consistently day in and day out, and whether it's in Atlanta or New York or North Dakota, and sometimes we have, you know, with someone like Keith, I mean, he already knew the story that he wanted to tell. He, you know, people may have something that happened during their childhood or their young adult life, whatever it might be. But sometimes we get into a situation, you've got someone in, you know, Montana, and you're asking, well, why do you do what you do? And they'll answer, well, I've never really thought about that before. So that poses a very unique challenge, and to be able to execute upon this consistently, never having missed a deadline in 5 years, is really where the process comes into play. So where it really starts off is with, like, we call it our discovery call. And that's where we really spend some time at the firm, just learning about their goals, learning about what some of their challenges are in terms of the types of clients that they, essentially their ideal client, the type of clients they want to attract, why they do what they do, what sets the firm apart, and really drilling down into those things. Because, you know, that's what we, you know, our team, we meet about every single project, like our creative team meets every single time. So we don't do these things on a template or anything like that. And every single project gets a full storyboard and everything like that. And we also do this just to ensure that there's clarity of expectations and that we're all aligned. So we never come out to just shoot a video without the firm first approving everything and all the storyboards well in advance. You know, it's only once we have the sign off from the firm that we actually do come out to film. Most of these projects, most of like a standalone, we call them branding videos, which is the one that goes on the homepage, Facebook, or, you know, the directories and LinkedIn and things like that. Most of those are just a one day shoot. We do them on both, like, during the week or on a weekend. And then from the time that that video is shot, it's about 7 to 10 business days to turn it around. So
get out.
Yeah, we make it a very, like, our aim is to always make it the most enjoyable process for a client. Like, I know that.
Will you generate that product in a week to 2 weeks from the shoot?
Yep. For the so business days. Yeah. So 7 to 10 business days. But yes.
That's incredible. I would have said that's a month worth or more of editing.
Well, it's rare. I mean, there's instances where, like, so we also include rounds of revisions, but because we spend so much time on the pre-production on the front end, it's very rare that we do that. And usually if there's like an edit, it's like changing the title or the name of someone or something like that in terms of how something like that's
split. You're not reconfiguring the whole approach.
No. I mean, I think if a company has to do that, then they missed the mark on the front end in terms of like, you know, making sure that everyone's aligned.
Yeah. So my geekdom is going to require that I ask the following question. Are you doing the storyboards on hard copy, you know, pen and paper, or are you using a product?
Yeah, we're all digital, and even down to the project management and everything, even down to like our travel bookings and so on. But
all right, so spill the beans. Tell me all the toys you use.
Yep. Okay. So let's see, for some of the storyboarding, I mean, we've done like InDesign and things like that. And we usually have a vast library, so it helps us kind of depict each scene, just library of like images. We often also use actual images from the law firm. So like we can actually put the images of the individual, like the actual attorneys themselves, and we can kind of break it down shot by shot. For project management, we use Wrike.
What's that?
It's called Wrike, Wrike.
Okay.
And now what's interesting is we've, and this may not be a system for everyone, because I find that every couple of years it's one of those things. It's like what got you here won't get you there. And what used to be okay when we were doing a smaller volume and there was, you know, less things going on is no longer like a fit. But Wrike works really well because you can set a lot of great dependencies and workflows and things like that, and approval processes. And then also it's got a great integration with Adobe Premiere, which we use for editing. So our creative team, you know, they don't ever have to leave that application because it has like a widget that just that works with it. And they can just check off here are the tasks, here are the edits for the day. You know, here's kind of the different steps. And then it's also great with just project management because it supports all the other applications we use, like Dropbox and Google Drive and even, you know, Google Calendar. So it allows us to create like dashboards of here are the schedules. And it's gotten to the point also where we've got a person doing dedicated travel bookings as well. Because, you know, I'm sure you can imagine with 40
plus shoots. You're flying all over the place, yeah.
Flying, there's hotels, there's rental cars and all those different things. And coordinating that, so it's almost like the UPS or Amazon logistics, like a mini version of that.
Yeah, I can only imagine, having just got back from a long trip last night, you know, multiply that 50-fold on a daily basis, and you can see the challenge. And speaking of challenges, what are the challenges that attorneys face when they seek to take advantage of what you have to offer? What are the things they have to overcome?
Well, I mean, I'd say there's a number of things, but I think the biggest one, and perhaps I'm finding that pretty much all things in terms of growing a business really come back to this, but it's really mindset. I think that's usually the biggest one, just in terms of being able to really kind of shift the mindset. And, you know, one of the reasons we even do these videos is because most of our firms, we primarily work with solos and small firms. They can't compete against these enormous advertisers in the markets. I mean, with the huge TV budgets and radio and billboards, like they can't compete on advertising spend. So how do they compete when their market is just saturated and dominated? So while they can't compete there, they can be strategic online and differentiate themselves. So while they may not be able to be, you know, page one Google, they can make sure that like they can get in front of their audience. And there's other ways to do that, but especially with the video, it's something that sets them apart from everybody else. And like you mentioned with Keith, I mean, in Louisiana, I mean, he's going up against guys spending $1 million a month in advertising, and like Keith can't go, you know, he's not only getting outmatched that he doesn't want to. So for him to be able to stand out, I mean, we say like the best cases go to the best marketers, but what we do is we help the best cases go to the best attorneys. And I know you had Ben Glass on, so he echoes this, or yeah, maybe I echo Ben Glass.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to segue to, because you know, Ben was on a couple of weeks ago. Ben Glass, for those who may not have listened, you should go back and listen to episode 86 with Ben Glass. He's a very successful attorney here in the Northern Virginia area, but also runs a company called Great Legal Marketing. And one of his mantras is that, you know, you're not going to outspend the big boys. And the big national firms, when they come in, they're going to take all or a lot of the big cases, but you can compete if you're nimble and aggressive and use some guerrilla warfare. And cites video as a perfect example. And again, if you listen to Ben's episode and then go to his his legal website, Ben Glass Law, you'll see the video that you guys did for him. And it brings out, you know, his personal story of having 9 kids, you know, 4 with his wife and 5 that they adopted. And the fact that he's a high level soccer referee, which we bonded on over that. And so you're right. You're able to help these solo and small firm practitioners compete in a way that they may not otherwise be able to.
So there's something interesting you touched on, and I'm wondering if, like, people listening to this are thinking, okay, so who cares that Ben has 9 kids, or that, you know, that he's a soccer referee. You know, we did a video for an attorney recently. He's a marathon runner. He runs ultra marathons. Like, who cares, right? Like, their clients, they're thinking, my clients are investing in legal services.
Yeah.
Like, why would they care about any of this stuff?
My clients are DUI.
Right. Like, they just want a lawyer. They don't want to know about, like, what I do for fun, or, like, you know, what my hobbies are. And I think that that is such a mistake. And it's coming back to the fact that people aren't buying legal services. They're buying you, right? And they're buying and they're investing in the firm. And that is the reason why they choose to hire you, because they can relate to you, and they can relate to you on a human level. That's not just attorney. I mean, if they're buying legal service, they'll go to LegalZoom, right? They don't even need to interact with a human being there. So I think that in itself is a differentiating factor. But I guess coming back to the biggest challenge question, I mean, again, it's just mindset in terms of, like, really investing in your firm and investing in understanding that, like, how are consumers making decisions? And if you've ever wondered, like, what, you know, what a prospective client may do, just search your city and lawyer, and then, you know, let's say the type of practice area you are. So, like, I don't know, like, Boston DUI attorney. And you'll see, here are the sites that come up, and you'll see the guys investing in pay-per-click, and then you'll see kind of the local guys, like the local maps, and then you'll see the organic searches. And if somebody is searching online through Google, that's what they're seeing. And then take it a step further, click on a few of those websites, and you'll begin to see that, okay, everyone says they provide aggressive representation, everyone's got a 10 AVO rating, and they're a super lawyer. And as you go from one to the next, you'll start to see that none of these guys are, for the most part, are providing any compelling reason why you should hire them over somebody else. And sometimes, quite frankly, why you should hire them at all. Sometimes it just says, you know, attorney at law with some contact info. Here's my phone number.
Yeah. And the video is the way to get people to, as we say, to know, like, and trust you, because that's who they're going to make a decision to hire. You know, one of the things I noticed, two things in particular about some of the clients that you work with, a lot of them have some really nice settings that they work out of, either their office setting or their locale and things like that. What is your response to the solo or small firm practitioner who at the moment is working, you know, from his kitchen table or her kitchen table or is out of the local library, and they want to make that investment because they know where it will lead, but they're held back because, you know, they're the environment that they're in. They don't have the office. They don't have the rack of law books against which to show them. How do you respond to that dilemma?
Oh, great question. And I will say that this is one of those things where I would say this is kind of like crisp magic, because if you went behind the scenes at a shoot, I think it would really surprise people. Most of this, of the actual offices that we go to film with, or the attorneys that we go to film with, don't have glamorous offices. In fact, many of the firms, let's say they could be in a co-working space, or they could be in a really small office where there's just a wall. It's like a tiny wall, right? And you think, what are you going to do, right? Like, how do you make this look like this high-end law firm? And that challenge is on us, right? So that's why we film in a lot of different environments. I mean, I joke in that I think we've identified every courthouse in America. If you've seen some of our videos, it's also kind of filming around, like, just landmarks that are local to that city.
Yeah, I love it. I love that.
It's an interesting thing because, again, I bring it back to mindset in that, it's amazing in that even if you are, let's say, working from home, if you're working in a small office or whatever it is, like, if you can share your story, I don't think that's anything to be ashamed of. In fact, I think if people were willing to open up about that, like why they do that, maybe they're, you know, focusing all their time and attention on it, like their clients and their cases, and instead of thinking about how do I, you know, let's get some nice couches and let's get a nice office space, you know, maybe the legal work comes first.
Or maybe they're home taking care of a child or an elderly parent, and they work from their home and from the local Starbucks because, you know, that's what they have to do.
That was me too. I mean, when I started the company, I remember I used to, there was no office and there were no team members. I used to say we, but it was just me. I'd work out of my apartment, and when I would do meetings with clients, I'd have them meet me at the local Starbucks, right? And then I would have the meeting, and then we'd adjourn the meeting, we'd all go to our cars, I'd wait for them to leave, and then I'd go back into the Starbucks, because that was it. That was my office, right? I mean, there was no like actual official office yet, but at the same time, that wasn't the reason why our clients then hired us. They hired us because they liked us and trusted us, and that we honestly were listening to what their goals were and what their challenges were, and were coming up with solutions. So I would say that if that's something that's holding somebody back, I think again that's a mindset thing, and it hasn't been a barrier for our other clients.
And the other thing that I noticed, and it's something that I need to work on personally, but I noticed that every single attorney that you film is good looking. How did that happen? How does that work? I mean, I have to go to the gym for about a month before I can be on a crisp video.
You know, it's interesting because like sometimes a client will come on board and say, hey, you know what? I want to wait like a month or two to shoot the video. I want to hit the gym.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly what I was thinking.
You know, but it's
because I know what film does to you. It adds 10 pounds and I don't need any more.
Yeah, well, I will say, like on our end, it is our job, and it is, you know, every single like video and every single shoot to make our attorneys look good and to make sure that they're like, again, perception is reality. So if it's if someone's investing with Crisp, they're going to get a Crisp video. And it's also, I think this is something I actually give credit to our project managers and our cinematographers for making clients feel so comfortable and have such an enjoyable experience that when they are on camera, like none of our guys are actors. None of the stuff is like, there's no teleprompter. There's no like lines or script to memorize. Like we just don't do things that way. That when you're seeing somebody and you're seeing the attorney in the video or you're seeing clients, those are real clients. Those are real attorneys and real legal staff, but they feel comfortable and they open up, and you know, we'll shoot multiple takes and then we'll stitch it all together and that, you know, get these great sound bites. But when you have somebody like, and you're walking down the street, you've got a film crew with you and you've got the wind blowing and you just, I mean, you feel like a rock star, and that's exactly what our clients tell us.
Yeah. Well, they look it. They absolutely look it. So as we start to wrap up here, Michael, I want to just also bring our listeners' attention. I mentioned to you before we started that, you know, they're back in the day when blogs were kind of new. Everybody had their own set of blogs that you would check out every morning or, you know, a couple times a week to get the information you were looking for. And then through aggregators and other things, that kind of practice went away. I have to tell you, I love your website, and I go to it. You know, I'm kind of when you look at your web traffic, you could probably count about 10% of it is me, because I come back to your website frequently because your blog is so dang informative. There's a lot of stuff on it that has nothing to do per se with, you know, the front page video that you do. It has to do with other types of video marketing and video opportunities to use video and other things. And it's a great resource. And I just wanted to bring that to our listeners' attention and to compliment you on that, because like I said, I think I've read every blog post on your website.
Thank you. And I really appreciate it. I'll say that our content team works very hard. I mean, I've seen some blogs where it's just, you know, guys checking the box and saying, okay, we've got our blog quota for the week or the month. And, you know, we really take the time to consider like what is going to add value for people. Like we're doing, you know, 2-3 webinars a month as well. You know, some of those topics have nothing to do with necessarily always the things that we provide as a service, but just something that we believe is valuable for our attorneys and things that they express that they're interested in, like Facebook ads, you know, or chatbots and things like that.
Yeah, your most recent one on the rise of Facebook Messenger chatbots, something I never even thought of, and it was so informative. So I really get a lot of value out of that. I just want to let you know.
Well, I certainly appreciate that. I was even mentioning to you. I mean, it's good to get that kind of feedback, because we continue to put out this content, and it's interesting that it's rare that someone says, hey, you know what, I want to get more of this content. Sometimes they'll say, hey, you know what, stop sending me all this stuff. But it's great to hear that because we really invest a lot of time in putting out really great content that people have, you know, that is actionable takeaways that someone can apply, whether they work with us or not, that they can apply even to their own content.
Well, it's clear that that's what you do because, you know, a lot of people will put up a blog post, you know, just to be able to check that off the weekly calendar. We got our blog post up because they know it's good for content marketing and things like that. And I'm just as guilty of that. I'm not pointing my fingers at other people. I am just as guilty. And when you really look at the post, it doesn't really have a lot to offer. It's kind of like ordering a bag of potato chips. You know, it's tasty there for a little while, but after that, it doesn't really do anything for you. That's not true. It's not true with the content you guys have put up. So again, I mean, I don't want to keep blowing smoke, but I find it to be very useful.
Well, thank you very much. I certainly very much appreciate that.
And just you know, for finally, just to make it clear, I am not a Crisp video client. Hope to be someday, but I'm not now. So this is all, you know, my viewpoints about your product are based on what I've seen and what my guests have relayed back to me. So it's heartfelt.
Well, Neil, and the check is in the mail. Just invoice me after the podcast.
Yeah, we've made our month quota, huh?
So, right.
Terrific. All right. So, Michael, tell our audience a little bit how they can reach out to you if they want to follow up further and maybe kind of go down that path with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. They can visit our website. It's crispvideo.com, C-R-I-S-P. video.com, and they can reach out to us. The way we do it, we don't really have like the add video to cart option because that's not really how we work.
Yeah, you
don't. when someone reaches out to us, we do a strategy session. We basically just learn more about their firm, discuss their goals, determine if we're a fit. I mean, in some instances, we're not a fit, and that's, you know, that's okay. We'll be the first to tell you. But it's just making sure that there's good alignment on both sides. And if we do decide to move forward, then, you know, great. But yeah, it's just crispvideo.com. And if anyone's interested, they can also just email me directly. I'm happy to answer any questions. If anyone's already doing video marketing or they want to get started, just michael@crispvideo.com.
And that's Michael with the A-E-L, right?
That's right.
All right. So very last question here before we sign off. What's the deal with the Tesla in your signature block?
Oh, yeah. Yep. So, so our company theme, like internally, is game changers. And this is kind of our mantra and the way in which we approach things. You know, there's a way things are done. And then there's the way that, like, you know, we want to kind of take it up a notch and be very much disruptive. And that's exactly what, you know, we also ask our clients to do. So we always, you know, we want to make sure that we're in alignment with that we're never asking our clients, suggesting our clients do something that we ourselves are not doing and getting behind. So about a year ago, we were looking at the various kind of like referral programs that organizations were doing, and they'd give away, like, you know, an Apple Watch or an Amazon gift card. And I thought about it and I said, well, what if we give a car away? And I'd never given a car away. I didn't know anything about that at the time. And then when we thought about, okay, well, what about a Tesla, right? What would get our clients excited? So you've got to be a client to win this thing. But when a client refers someone to us who becomes a client, they get an entry into this Tesla. We actually gave away one back in April at the AVA Lawyernomics conference, and the response was so incredible that we decided to take it up another notch and give another one away. This time, the Model X. And this one's like fully loaded out this time. So it's not a lease. I think that's also something that, you know, many of these types of giveaways, like on the Price is Right, it's like, you know, great. You get this 2-year lease and then you got to turn it in. And then again, you got to pay taxes on it too. So you're essentially getting a discounted lease. But with us, it's you own the car, like literally the title is yours. And technically the winner, I guess, could sell the car if they wanted to, although I hope they don't. But this one, we are giving away in February of 2018 at the National Trial Lawyers Conference in Miami. So whenever someone becomes a client, when they become a Crisp client, they get their first entry. So they're entered to win. And for the last contest, we had about 100 entries. So the odds of winning this, I think this is what, you know, I think surprises a lot of people. They think with a contest like this, it's like a 1 in 1 million shot. But even without referring anyone, with the last program, it was about 1 in 100. And then once you refer someone, you basically double, triple, quadruple your odds. So this was our way of basically saying, look, if we're going to ask our clients to do anything, we're going to show them that we're also investing in it. Quite frankly, when I did it, the first time, it was terrifying. You know, I really couldn't even sleep at night. I went to a dealership, got this car, said we were giving away a Tesla, and then immediately thought, you know,
wow, what have I got myself into?
Exactly. I had this thing parked in front of the office. I'd look at it every day. And I think, did I overreach here? Because the first month, we didn't get any referrals. And we learned a couple things. One, people didn't believe we were actually giving a car away. So we had to, we actually shot a video of me going to the dealership and like actually writing the check, picking the car up. And then the second thing was that, and this is also an interesting pain point, our clients, like their friends are also other attorneys in their market and competing attorneys. So when we said refer your friends, they didn't want to refer like a competing attorney in their market because they had this amazing crisp video and this is their competitive edge. They didn't want to get the guy across the street to have the same thing. So that was also an interesting challenge.
Wow. But in the law, they tell you, particularly if you're a litigator, never ask the witness a question that you don't know the answer to. I didn't know the answer to that. I thought you just liked Teslas or you aspired to, or you liked the design or something. I had no idea of the story behind it. That's fascinating. Well, Michael, thank you ever so much for taking the time to be on The Law Entrepreneur. And I look forward to keeping in touch with you and seeing more crisp videos down the line.
Well, it's absolutely my pleasure. And thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed the discussion.
It's been great. Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.